Thank you everyone for joining us today. Once again, I really hope all of you are doing well and maintaining your sanity and your peace. And it has been crazy. There are no answers, but thankfully we have Susan, who will help us through this session, lift our spirits a little bit. So Susan is pretty qualified because she's been teaching relaxation techniques out of movement science for the last 13 years. And she has a master's degree in counseling psychology. So she's also trained in mindfulness-based stress reduction and a holistic health counselor. So she has all that is required and expected from a person. So thank you, Susan, for agreeing to do this. So I will just let you take it away and help brighten things a little bit emotionally.
So thank you everybody for being here. I really appreciate it. And this is one of the conversations that I love to have more than anything else around how it is that we're living. And one of the things that I often come back to is that, if you were having trouble swimming, right, or you were drowning and I swam out to come get you, I wouldn't be using that time to help you learn how to swim, right? We would come back onto the shore, maybe we would go to a pool, we would do it in a really relaxed setting. But now what's happening is because we're in the midst of this storm, basically, we're in a position where we need to learn how to swim. We need to learn how to develop some approaches and some perspectives so that we can meet what it is that's in front of us. And so that's why, when I was thinking about what to entitle this, that I had that idea of a storm had really been coming into my mind a lot, and about sort of standing in the center of something, standing in that place that is more quiet and more still, despite, what is happening all around us. And, that can be an enormous, enormous challenge. And yet, it can also be an enormous opportunity. One of the things that I'm really drawn to right now is I have a lot of high hopes for us in terms of possibility, that while this is incredibly overwhelming and incredibly difficult, I feel like it's sort of like we're under a magnifying glass right now. Our lives are under a magnifying glass, and we have this opportunity to look and to see more clearly at how we're living, whether that's individually or collectively, and to make some decisions. But in order for us to be able to do that, we've got to be in a grounded enough, a clear enough place that we can even conceive of the possibility that there's another way to do this, because there can be like one narrative that this is just a disaster and just sort of like hang on and hunker down and get what you need just to keep yourself alive. And then there's the other narrative that we can use this as a way to strengthen ourselves. And one of the things that I often come back to is I often turn to the natural world, so like I love the concept of a storm, because while we as humans can believe that the storm is a negative thing, storms are very strengthening. Storms are very clearing. They clear the air, they clear debris, they clear the trees of things that are dead, things that are not working so well in nature. And so nature is always giving us opportunities to understand what's happening. And one of the things that I often come back to when I think about stress is I often come back to the root vegetables, the ones that come out in the fall, like the carrots and the beets and the sweet potatoes, all the ones that are really sweet. And these are all the ones that withstand frost, right? So that's a little storm for the plants, basically. And so all the things like the lettuces and a lot of the flowers, they die at that first frost. But the ones, the root vegetables, they give off a starch, they give off a sugar, so that not only does it protect them, but that it leaves them like sweeter to the taste. And so that's one of the things that I'm thinking about in my own life and also working with other people on is, is there a way that we can gain some kind of a sweetness, some kind of a strength, some kind of a, an altering in our perspective, so that when we step forward and step through this, that we are coming out with a different kind of a skill set. And, you know, this is one of the things that I was just talking to my college students about like how important it is that we are figuring out perspectives and techniques and tools, because as we move forward, we're going to need as many of us as possible to be in a place to make some choices. Because, you know, when we're in a stress response, so I'm just going to say a couple of things about the stress response, and then I'd like to move to just doing some experiences. But, you know, one of the things that is so important to remember about the stress response is when your system feels as though it is in danger, that its very life is threatened, you are not in a creative state of mind. You are not in a position to learn, and you are also not in a we kind of mentality, right? You're in a me versus you. Like, I'm going to get that last thing of toilet paper. I'm going to get that last can of beans. I'm going to get that last bag of pasta, or I'm going to take 15, and I'm not going to think about that there's not going to be things left for the people behind me. So when, and I'm saying this because sometimes we can think that like we're bad people or other people are bad people when we make these very kind of blinders on, narrow kind of choices. But what you want to know is that the only sort of manifesto of the system is stay alive. Stay alive. Do whatever you need to do to stay alive. So that's the very reptilian, mammalian, so the animal part of our system. Fortunately for us, we have a higher brain. So we have the capacity to think beyond what the animal brain is doing. And that is really like one of our greatest strengths. And that is something that, like, if we can take the time to cultivate some practices or some perspectives, put us in a position that when that fight, flight, freeze comes up, that we can pause for a moment and we can make a different choice, right? We can step in another direction. We can act beyond the physiology, if you will. So that's one thing that's important to keep in mind. And the other thing that I find is probably like the most important thing right now, because we don't know where the finish line is, because this is new, because this is uncharted, that what the mind wants to do is it wants to figure it out. It wants to know what's going to happen. It wants to make meaning out of all of this chaos and uncertainty. And there's a way where, as human beings, that meaning making is so beautiful and so powerful. You know, it's what writes books and creates art and creates new inventions. But also too, that drive of our minds to make meaning of things and to understand, like, to try and sort of, you know, when we've got all of this anxiety and worry and panic coming towards us, we're trying to place it someplace, right? We're trying, because it would be like if you're an animal in the out in the wild, right? So I'm a deer and I'm moving through the forest, and all of a sudden I get that sense, right, that there's something else in the forest, and I look up. I'm going to be orienting, right? That's a very animal response. I'm going to be orienting to try and be figuring out, where is this danger coming from? But now, because we're in a situation where it's not a one-to-one correspondence, like there's a hunter in the woods and the deer is alert to that, we are literally swimming in a sea where it feels to us like the danger is omnipresent, that it is 24/7, that it is in every single person that we're encountering. You know, I just saw something yesterday. I was out doing my shopping and I was waiting in line, and I was looking across the street and I saw one man get out of his car, and I saw another man walking down the sidewalk towards him. Now, the man in the car was nowhere near the man on the sidewalk, but this guy startled like you wouldn't believe. He was like 30 feet away from this guy. He startled so strongly and so pervasively, right? Because his mind is in such a high alert state right now that he wasn't able to make appropriate assessment, make an appropriate determination that this man was in no way, shape, or form causing him harm, no way, shape, or form causing him danger. So this is one of the big things too that we need to be aware of, is that the mind can create danger. So we're not, unlike the deer is not out there being like, oh my God, where's the hunter coming? The deer is just doing the deer, and then the hunter, the danger comes, the alert comes up. But in our minds, we can be creating danger, and then the body responds in kind. So this is a very important thing to remember, is that your body does not distinguish between real and imagined fears. And we've all had this experience. If you are under a stress response because you're in traffic, right? Your body is having all kinds of responses to that. It doesn't actually know that you are not in like any kind of like an imminent threat. But because our minds are constantly going over and over and over the threat, we are acting as if it is everywhere around us at every single minute of the day. And that has costs. So what I want to do today is I want to work on a couple of practices and some perspectives. So one being to see if we can decouple or separate the stressor from our stress response. So I just want to give you an example on that, because sometimes people think, for instance, so I'll give you a for instance here. So I know a bunch of people right now who are considering this to be a retreat. They're not stressed about what's happening, right? They're using it as an opportunity to go in deeper. Now, some people might think like, that's crazy. Like that's not possible, but that's a mindset. So it'd be no different than, for instance, if, so that would be the stressor, right? The stressor is what we're all going through, but some people are responding to it in a different way. So it's no different than like, I have a terrible fear of like heights. I don't like the feeling of falling, you know, like I hate roller coasters. I hate all that kind of stuff. So if you said to me, you've got to go jump out of a plane right now, I really think I might have a nervous breakdown. Like I really think my whole system would just implode if I had to do that. But I know that there are tons of people on the planet who love that experience, who find that exhilarating and empowering. So I'm bringing this up to you to say that the stressor does not necessarily equal stress, that there's a little space in between there where in order for you to find something stressful, you have to perceive it as such. So really like take that in, like you have to perceive it as such, right? So the root vegetables do not perceive the frost as a threat. Somebody who loves skydiving does not perceive jumping out of a plane at I don't know how many thousand feet, 10,000 feet, whatever, as a threat. So I'm saying this because our minds are so powerful that they can create illness and disease just by the thoughts that we're holding in our minds. And they can also create health and power and opportunity and connection. So what I'd like to do now is I would like to move us just into a couple of experiences, and we can do them all from, you know, a seated position. So what I'm going to recommend is if you have anything on your lap, to put that off to the side, if your phone is around to make sure you turn that off, and just for you, I know we can't hear it, but like, this is your time to really, have a different kind of an experience. So I'd like to start first with a concept called mindfulness. And so mindfulness is being present. So the definition I love is comes from Jon Kabat-Zinn. And he talks about mindfulness as being present moment to moment without judgment. And that can be really hard because a lot of times what we're doing is, especially under the circumstances that we're in right now, is our minds are shooting into the future because we're trying to figure it out. Right? We're trying to predict, we're trying to control, we're trying to manage something that is beyond our control to in certain ways, not in all ways. So what I'd like to do is to come back first to that image of a deer, if you will. And we're going to practice being mindful through being present to our environment and through orienting like an animal would be, because we too are animals. So what I'm going to ask you to do is just let your eyes just be a little bit softer right now. And then in a very kind of gentle way, you're just going to start to take your gaze around whatever's in front of you. So for instance, I can see a paper with some of my notes on it, and I can see a window with trees. And you're just going to start to look around and not getting into a big sort of discourse about what you're seeing, but you're just going to start to label things like plant, cord, table, grass. And just let your gaze be soft, right? And just let your head kind of turn from side to side. So this is an orienting response, and all mammals have it. This is a way we look around in our environment to see what's there. And we can also use all of these things in our environment right now to bring us into the present moment, because everything that you're seeing is right here, it's right now. And when you bring your gaze back towards the screen, allow your eyes to gently close or let your gaze come down. And as you do that, really notice what happens when you take out the visual cues. So the eyes are intimately related to the nervous system. They're what we use to scan the environment, but there's no need to scan in this moment. We're scanning the screens, we're scanning and scanning, looking for answers. This is not that time. So we're taking and we're allowing the eyes to be down or to be closed. And just notice what that does to your nervous system to take out that sense of sight. It may feel calming to you. It may feel unfamiliar. Sometimes we don't want to be inside because inside feels too busy or loud or chaotic. But when we're being mindful, we're not judging or pushing any of that away. We're observing. It's like we're taking our own temperature right now. Because only when we truly know where we are in any given moment can we know how to proceed. Because otherwise we make choices out of fear, panic, negativity. And so take and allow your attention now to rest a little bit more on the eyes and see if there's some little tiny adjustment that you could make so that your eyes are softer somehow. You might even experiment with, what would it be like if I just let my eyes rest back? So just imagine that resting back just a little bit. So a lot of times in our culture, we have a lot of our energy and our weight up in the front of our body because we're pushing into the future. We're trying to get things done. See what it would be like if you started to bring your attention to the back of your head, to the back of your eyes, the back of your neck and your shoulders, and then all the way down the length of your back. Just imagine you could be like one of those little beanie babies, those little kind of stuffed animals that had all those little kind of beans in them. And you could imagine them all just resting back, just resting into gravity here. And as you do, see what would happen if you softened your jaw, if you relaxed your belly, and if you imagined that there were very warm and comforting hands just resting on the top of your shoulder, just encouraging you to let down, to just be more in the body, less up in the mind. So stress has a very sort of upward spiraling quality. And one of the things that we can do is we can come into the body as a way to ground ourselves. So feel your feet to the floor. Feel your body sitting in whatever you're sitting in. And see if you can sit back or relax down just a little bit more into the support. So the body is always about the present moment. The mind may be in the future or the past. So one of the things that we can do is we can come back to the body as an anchor to now. And then bring your attention to your breathing. So not changing anything, but just noticing the way that your body is breathing right now. So So not changing, you're just seeing if you can get a sense of, is the breath deep or shallow? Does it feel easy or labored? So stress breathing, panic breathing, we hold our breath. We breathe short, shallow, rapid. So what is your breath telling you about how you're breathing, how you are at this moment? So the breath is this unbelievable bridge between body and mind. It's also a way to indicate to us how things are actually going for us. So we're not judging that. We're just going to notice, what is the breath showing me right now about my state? Because that's what we're talking about, states that we can move in and out of if we consciously make some choices. Take now and begin to primarily focus on your exhale. So this is just a little exploration to notice what it feels like as you breathe out. And there's no right or wrong to this. And if something is really weighing on your mind right now or bothering your body, you could imagine breathing that out on every exhale, just putting that down. So let's all do that. Let's all see, is there something that we could just put down right now? We can get it later, but could you just, on your breath, put something down just for this next bit of time together? Just to give you a little bit more space. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to count to yourself how many beats it takes for you to exhale one breath. You just want to let this be natural. So whenever you're ready, you're going to breathe out and you're just going to count how many beats it takes for you to do that. Once you have that number, take a few more breaths, counting out your exhale. And you'll notice that this may shift as the breath starts to shift, and you can shift the count if you'd like. Just follow whatever your number is for a couple more breath cycles. Just you're breathing out, you're counting whatever your number was. No right or wrong to this. And then the next time that you go to exhale, you're going to breathe out to whatever your count was. And then right at the end, gently draw your belly back towards your spine and see if you can squeeze out one or two more counts. And then just breathe in any way that feels natural to you. So we're breathing out to the count. And then right at the end, very gently, very subtly, the belly moves back towards the spine and you're just squeezing out a little bit more breath. So take one more of those long extended exhales, belly draws all the way back towards the spine. And the next time that you go to inhale, completely relax your belly. Breathe in as if you were breathing air into a balloon. And then go back to your breath count and your extended exhale. So moving into the full abdominal, the full diaphragmatic breath. The breath comes in, you're directing the breath lower and deeper into the lungs. And what happens is the diaphragm drops, and that's what makes it feel like we're breathing air into the belly. And then on every exhale, the belly moves back towards the spine. So the breath comes in, you're sending it lower and deeper into the body. You're opening the belly. You're relaxing the diaphragm, that big breathing muscle between the abdominal and the chest cavity. You're just letting that relax down. So let's see if we can take our minds and for the next three breaths, just three breaths, see if you can just keep your mind focused on your breathing. And then let's try one more piece. As you continue with this full abdominal breath, begin to notice the way that the inhale turns into the exhale. And the way the exhale turns into the inhale. So you might imagine it in your mind's eye like it's a big circle. And you move from the inhale to the exhale, back to the inhale. But you might start to notice that in between those places, there's almost the tiniest of pauses. So see if you can begin to notice or find your way through that. Don't make this a twist of the mind. Just keep breathing fully and deeply. And see if you can open to the possibility that there's a little bit of space between inhale and exhale. Some people call it the gap. Some people call it the pause. Just a few more breaths here, seeing if you can find that little tiny space. Sometimes that's all we need. It's just the tiniest sliver of a space to make a different choice, to feel a different way. Take one more breath like this. And then at your next inhale, as if your whole spinal column up through the crown of your head was like a little bungee cord and it had some stretch to it. Just see if you can create a little bit more length without creating any tension. So can you do that? Can you be a little bit more alert while simultaneously staying calm in your body? So from this lengthened position, take a deep breath in, and on an exhale, let your chin come all the way down towards your chest. Let your head hang really, really heavy. This is a good time to use that exhale to continually let that head come forward while you allow the shoulders to come down. Soften through your eyes, relax through your jaw. Use the weight of your head to stretch your neck, to remind your shoulders to come down. And then very gently begin to rock your head from side to side. And not an automatic kind of emotion here, but more of an exploration where you're noticing the head, the neck, the shoulders, and even what it is like to be moving your body in this way, the effect that it has on you. Next time that your head comes through center, use an inhale as you draw your head back up through center, and on an exhale, turn and look over your right shoulder just to the end of your out-breath. And then inhale as you draw your head back through center, exhale, turn and look over your left shoulder. So we're going to move back and forth like that. Use your breath. The inhale draws you through center. The exhale has you turning and looking over a shoulder. And you're seeing here if you can coordinate your breath with the movement of your head. So this is another thing that we can keep in mind, is that when we slow the body, the mind follows. When we coordinate movement with breath, it settles the mind. Next time that your head comes through center, stay there. Take a deep breath in, and on an exhale, take a gentle twist towards the right. Let the spine be long, shoulders stay down. And then inhale as you draw back through center, and exhale as you turn and look over the left. And then inhale as you come back through center. Just take a moment now to stretch and to move your body in any way that feels exactly right to you. And then keeping your gaze down, let's come out of this experience the same way that we went in. So eyes are soft, body is relaxed, and you're gently orienting to your outside surroundings, to whatever is in your environment. We're not getting into any stories about anything. We're just noticing. And then as you're ready, just allowing your gaze really gently though. So probably very different than how we first began today with one another. See if as we're coming back to each other, if you can let your eyes stay a little bit softer, a little bit more back. See if you can let your whole self be sitting back just a little bit more. So this alone can have a profound impact on the nervous system, is how we carry our bodies. Because just as there are very specific defensive postures, ways of holding tension in the body that signal danger, we also have ones that signal all as well. So one of the things that we can do just very simply, don't require any more time, is to take that position of sitting back, softening the eyes. Because if the body is feeling at ease, it signals to the mind all is well. So we can go in through the body to calm the mind, and we can also use the mind to impact the body. So a couple of the things that we did there were working on that concept of mindfulness by noticing what our surroundings were. We noticed our breath, right? All things that are here right now. And then the breath that we were working on, what I love about that breath is you do not have to talk yourself out of anything. You do not have to get yourself to be calm or get yourself to be relaxed. Simply by breathing more fully and deeply, you signal to your autonomic nervous system, everything's okay, right? We get ourselves into that relaxed state, relaxation response, and in that, everything works better, right? We sleep better. We digest our food. We also have much more of a creative and a we mentality when we're in that relaxation response. So I'd just love to check in with all of you now to either hear if you have a question or if you'd like to make a comment on what that experience was like. And I just want to also add into, you know, sort of going back to that analogy of learning how to swim in the middle of a storm, that sometimes people do have the experience when you get quiet of noticing how much is there. So that's also a very worthy thing to talk about, right? Because you will not be alone if that was your experience. So whatever your experience was, I really encourage you to, you know, to bring it forward, and then we'll kind of see where we go from there. So I'm thinking, so what I usually do in my classes when people are muted is, so I don't know if Drishti, if you've got people muted, but maybe if somebody would be willing to say something, how you're feeling, or you had a question, if you just give Drishti a little wave and then she could unmute you.
I think I'll start just to get it going. I guess all of us have so much to say, but that was really calming. I think the only word I can think about is wow, that was really calming. I think we did that for like 20 minutes or something, right? Susan, I did not see the time, but 25 minutes or so.
I don't even think it was that long.
Oh, okay. It felt like a long time. It was so relaxing. I guess it felt like it is long because that's the effect it had on me. One thing that I want to ask you, Susan, is now because we are not meeting in person, and it's so nice to see everyone on Zoom, but we are staring into the screen so much and sitting so much. This is so stiff, right? This part is extremely stiff. So this really helped me get rid of some of that. But do you have any suggestion for people who have like 5 minutes to, you know, do that and get the same benefit in just 3 to 5 minutes, because it gets really, really tight out there, just too much of screen time.
Yeah, so a couple of things. So I just want to, the first thing, you know, when I was saying, I don't even think we did 25 minutes. What I was really trying to say around that is that, like, in a very short amount of time, we can bring ourselves into a state of relaxation, right? That it can be 3 minutes, it can be 5 minutes. And the more that we practice things, the quicker we can drop into, you know, states of relaxation. That's really like that choice point that I was talking about. So one of the things that you're talking about with the head being so ahead of the body, one of the things, you know, that I often talk to like my yoga students especially about is like, I feel like the culture that we're living in, that's our position. Like, it's almost like we're running this race and who's going to rip through the tape first, you know, like kind of like a runner thing where we're all like this forward in our lives, forward in our bodies, as opposed to sitting back. So that right there is a huge thing to be aware of. Like, if you feel yourself pushing forward, you know, to just tell yourself, like, I literally will just say to myself, just sit back, just sit back. You know, like, I'll be driving and I'll be like, just sit back. Right? Because there's the trying to like figure something out, or you're looking at the screen trying to figure something out. And then that experience where we just dropped the head, rocked it, turned side to side. What I love about that one is it has a profound impact on stretching those muscles. And as like an add-in with all of that, so up underneath my collarbones, like my lungs actually come up underneath the collarbones to the bottom of my neck. So if my neck is tight, if my shoulders are tight, if my chest is tight or collapsed, that's going to impact my breath. So that when you loosen up this whole part of your body, you then open up your capacity to breathe more deeply. The other thing that is really important in terms of the neck being more free is, you know, we've got coming off of the brainstem, we've got something called the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve, I'm not going to get too much into this right now, but just has a really important role in terms of the fight-flight response. And so if this part of you, the muscles are really tight, all the nerves, the lymph, all the circulation moving through there is going to be seriously compromised. So this is such an important part of us for so many different reasons, not just because, oh, my neck is killing me. So that experience that we were doing, and then what I'll do is, I'm just looking at my time, you know, we'll do one more experience after, and I'll show you one more thing that you can do for the neck. But one of my favorite things to do, which I'm not going to do right now, is whenever you get the chance and you can do this, it's better on a hard surface. You can do it in bed. Lay on your back. It's called just a five-pointed star in yoga. So you want to lay on your back and just open your arms to a V and open your legs to a V. So imagine it, you're like a star. And what that one, you know, because you're like, this is my head, then it aligns with the rest of my spine. Because this is, you know, I know a lot of body workers, and this is one of the things that they talk about all the time, is that the curve in the neck is being seriously changed right now because of the time that we're doing this, spending over devices. So what I would urge people to do is, you know, don't be in front of your computer. An hour is too long. And I know sometimes like this meeting is lasting an hour. If you can do every half an hour, just get up, stretch, turn your head from side to side like we just did, do that neck stretch. And then for the eyes, close your eyes and consciously soften them for a moment, because the eyes have a direct relationship to the nervous system. And so if you've got this hard penetrating gaze, that's going to be signaling back to the nervous system that there's danger and that you're on alert. Not to mention all the things that are happening right now with our vision because of the time in front of the screen. So a really nice practice, like I happen to be sitting next to a window, is if I'm on the screen a lot, I will just gaze off really soft, not like hard. And I will try and see the furthest thing in a distance that I can see without straining, right? Because this is close work. And so what we need is we need distance work. And we also, I highly recommend whenever you can, if you've got to be on a screen, be next to a window. Look out the window. Remind yourself of your humanity, right? Remind yourself of the natural rhythms, because this pulls us into very unnatural rhythms. You know, whether it's how we're holding our body, our eyes, our mind. You know, never before have we been in a situation where we had such access to so much information, to so much pain, to so much suffering, right? There's only so much one individual can hold in terms of the trauma of the world, right? And it's not what we're all trying to hold right now. And that's one of the downsides, right? It's great that we can know other cultures and other, but it is not great that we are linked into billions of other people's experiences of suffering. So take those breaks and remind yourself, step outside, you know, like that's such a good one to do. Don't just sit in front of the computer for hours and hours. It gets us in the wrong headspace. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Gretchen. Hey. So hold on, Gretchen. I don't think you're unmuted. So I think just
you can do it yourself too.
I think we're both unmuting me. So my question is, and this happens to me all the time, when you first go, when you say close your eyes, like I can feel my like eyes and my mind or something trying to like grasp onto something to find my place or my balance, even when I'm sitting down. And how do you help calm that down?
Yeah.
Or is that a natural response?
So first of all, what I would say, because I know Gretchen, and so Gretchen, you know, all responses are natural, all responses are included, right? That, you know, it could be a bunch of things. So one thing that I would say is, for sure, you know, if closing the eyes is ever not working, to take the soft gaze down, to take the gaze at something else, right? So that we're just not so outwardly focused, because that's really the point of what I'm trying to do, is take us from that predominantly outward focus to a more inward kind of focus, right? Because that's the only way we're going to be able to distinguish between real and imagined fears. It's not something that somebody from the outside can tell you. It's only something you can figure out. And then the other thing that I would say is, like, as you are kind of making that transition, because it's quite a transition. It sounds so simple, like just close your eyes, right? It's actually a massive transition to go from having this very outward orientation to going more in. And so one thing that you might just want to be aware of is, like, is that experience like a physical one, a mental one, an emotional one? You know, like, is it like a vertigo thing where like your body suddenly doesn't have that, you know, that sense of proprioception of like where it is in space? Is it that the mind is like, oh my God, what's coming now? You know, because here's the thing, right? Like, you wouldn't close your eyes if we were like standing in front of a tiger, right? You wouldn't close your eyes if you were stepping out into traffic and there was a bus that was going to come and hit you. So it could be that too. It could be that the system is so elevated that it feels dangerous to close the eyes, because the system wouldn't do that if you were actually in danger. So what I would say to you is, I really think that it's an exploration, you know, around, what is this for me? And like that for me is like where the real information comes from, you know, not from somebody else telling me, but from me being like, what's actually going on for me right now? You know, which is such an important thing to do, because one of the things that, you know, we all need to be aware of as we're moving through these times, it is not just about these times, right? These times are triggering whatever our history is, whatever our past is in terms of fears and dangers and loss and lack of control, right? All of that is being triggered through this experience, which is why you see such a continuum, right? We're not all having the same experience, right? We're all having very different kinds of experiences. Like, I'll just briefly illustrate this for you. So I'm not in a place of fear necessarily around the virus. Where my fear starts to come in sometimes is anticipating the choices that are going to get made that may limit our health freedoms, that may limit our privacy rights, right? And I can take and I can directly link that back to a childhood that I grew up in, where it was a very dysfunctional home and the wrong energies were driving the bus. So when I start to see things like, what's this going to do to privacy and health freedom, my mind automatically goes right back to those times where the wrong things were in charge. And so, yes, are there issues that we're going to have to deal with around like privacy and health freedoms? Absolutely, right? But is it at the extent that my system might go to? I don't think so, right? Because that's based on my past experience. So that's another thing to really be aware of is, you know, who you are and what you're bringing to the table around this, because it's not just a one-to-one correspondence, like this thing is happening and that equals danger and that equals stress, right? That's that decoupling from the stressor and the stress response. Yeah. So I think I went way around the block with that one, Gretchen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Anybody else?
I just wanted to say this. An analogy jumped in my head when you were talking earlier about taking a break, or, you know, stepping away from it when you can, stepping away from your screen. I don't watch scary movies, like, in theory, that's not what I gravitate towards, or really distressing movies. But if for some reason I have to, you know, or like I get roped into it by somebody or whatever, if things get really tense, you know, the man's coming with the knife, or the tiger's running out, or the guns are whatever, and I'm catching myself too intense in it, I have, you know, looked down at my hands, or if I'm in the theater, like, gone out to the bathroom and got a snack or got some water, and then come back in, because it's like, I have to break that, like, this is not my reality. Now, of course, this is our reality, but if I get too caught up in it, and for me, if I'm watching television, you know, watching too much of the news or too many reports, or, you know, getting too caught up in other people's franticness, I have to leave. I have to go get a drink of water. You know, good. But yeah, I appreciate you saying that, because that made me reminded me. Oh yeah, and I got to make sure I'm doing that, like getting out and yeah, going outside and looking at the stars and the beautiful clear sky that's happening and the clear waters and realizing, oh, you know what, that's something that's really positive from this.
Yeah, because there's that perspective too, right? Like, it's so ironic to me, or so perfect to me, or so something to me, you know, that through this we're in spring. You know, I'm looking out and the grass and the flowers and the birds and like everything is doing life. Everything is doing itself, right? It's not in anticipation of what is happening for us right now. And that's the other thing, that's that perspective shift that you're talking about, right? Is to step away from something, right? And that can be really challenging, because again, as mammals, right, we've got that herd mentality, and there's a great protective quality to that. But then there's the stampede, right? There's the like, oh my gosh, the contagion of fear, or the contagion of panic, or panic buying, or whatever, and it shoots through all of us. And then there's the place too where, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's like we're connecting over this right now, right? So what if you don't want to have that conversation? What if you'd rather have like a different kind of a conversation? You know, what does it mean about our relationships if we're in a better place and then somebody's in a more afraid place? You know, do we have to go get compatible with them in order to be able to stay in the relationship, or can we be okay? And one of the things that I am like so strongly aware of in my own life is that like, I absolutely not only can be okay, I need to be okay, because I'm not going to be able to help anybody if I'm stampeding, right? If I'm panicking. And so this idea of us like holding steady is such an important thing, you know, like as teachers, as a support to the students, as part of a community that's got a lot of decisions to make about how we're going to step forward. You know, if we make choices based out of fear, we're going to be signing up for a whole bunch of problems, you know, as opposed to, can we find a way to like step back a little bit, right? To assess the risk, to be willing to take some risks. Because what's happening right now too is that in our focus on minimizing this one risk, we are creating a whole bunch of other unintended risks that are going along with that. And these are the things, and if we're really going to be step forward as a community, we've got to be including like all of the consequences here, not just the most like obvious ones or the most threatening ones, because you know, this is a whole nother conversation, right? But like all the other sort of sub things that are coming up out of all of this. So it's a big deal. You know, it's a big deal to be making a choice to show up here today, you know, and I'm not saying that because I'm the one that's running it. It's a big deal to decide to work on yourself, to gain some skills. You know, I'm just so with a quote by Ram Dass right now where he says, the only thing you have to offer another human being ever is your own state of being. You know, we are mammals, we are sensing, we are vibing off of each other all the time. So, you know, we open this drishti with you being like, you know, wondering and thinking about like, how can I be of service? How can I help? You know, as a mother, as a leader in our community, it's you, right? It's you standing in a more centered, calm place. And that doesn't mean that we don't have our moments of anxiety or panic, right? But we go back to the drawing board and we keep deciding over and over again. And that's why for me, I love the breath. I love using mindfulness because they don't cost anything. I love simple movements because all of this are things that you can do that don't cost any money and won't take any amount of time. You can do it driving in a car, sitting on the toilet, laying in bed. I really highly recommend, you know, doing things on a much more regular basis, you know, kind of throughout the day. Yeah, anybody else have any questions or comments? So just see how much time we've got left. Oh my gosh, how does that happen? So can we just do one quick thing to close?
Yeah. I have a 3 o'clock, I've got to jump off. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you too. Yeah, so thank you. So if you're going to stay, we'll go until three. We'll just do two really quick things. So this is for your neck. So you're just going to bend your arms. You're going to bend at the elbow. You're going to interlace your fingers, and you're going to place them behind your head at the base of your skull. And then just take and let your elbows rest towards one another and your shoulders come down. So you're going to take a deep breath in and just gently push the back of your head into your hands to a count of four. And then release. Let's do that two more times. Gentle push the base of your skull into your hands. Let your hands and your head meet. Release. And one more time, push the back of the head into the hands. Release. Okay, so we'll take that one down. So that's like a PT kind of exercise that's really great for keeping the shape, the curve in the back of the neck. Yeah. So I think that might be it, Drishti.
Thank you, Susan. That was really wonderful, and I like the tips too. Since we are out of time, I would like to officially end this by to be useful, I guess, yeah, we need to maintain that calm within ourselves. I know otherwise I yell at my kids for no reason when I'm anxious. Just if you have the time, I just want to ask one thing. I don't know if it's happening with all of you, but every time, like, I'm fine. And then all of a sudden there is that spike in anxiety for a minute, and then it lasts for some time and then it goes. So do you think this breathing would help for that as well, or anything else that might be useful?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's, first of all, just a really natural thing. And I mean, that's how the nervous system works. I mean, you know, it comes up, it goes down, it comes up. But then a lot of times what we do is we shoot up and then we stay up. So what I would say is, you know, the more that you're breathing deeply and fully, you're oxygenating your system, and you're also signaling to the nervous system that you're okay. So the more that you're working on that full deep breath as you move through the day, I think that that changes those spikes, or when the spikes happen, it winds up giving you something to focus on instead of the, like, the shoot up of the anxiety. And then I would also just say too, because like, I wouldn't label myself as an anxious person, and I'm having spikes of anxiety right now. And, you know, so it's the breath. And I guess I'll just end with one more thing too. When you notice what your mind is doing, you can use this little tip of asking yourself, when you notice what it is that you're thinking about, is this helpful or is this harmful? Mm-hmm. Right? So just asking yourself that question when you catch where your mind is, where it's going off into whatever crazy place is going off into, right? To be like, is this helpful or is this harmful right now? Because that's another one of those places to start to distinguish between when are we making something up? When are we, you know, making the fears bigger than what they are? And when is it really something that we need to be attending to?
Thank you. Thank you, Susan. And thank you, everyone, for actually joining. I promise to take a long, big breath and move my neck, and hopefully that will help. Thank you for brightening our spirits a little bit. I'm glad you could join the rest of you. So have a really wonderful day and a week. And namaste, right? That's what I salute the being, the state of being, in peace and gratefulness. Thank you so much for
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.